You've been doing a lot to expose homophobia and transphobia in the former Soviet state and in Russia. Do you ever feel you're putting your own security and safety at risk?
In Georgia, I was just walking on the streets. And at some point, me and my colleagues, also some international people, were telling me, this guy, I think he's trying to film us, and I think I've seen him already a few times. And then you need to start thinking that this is not just some homophobic idiots.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Thousands come out for Sarajevo Pride, Marvel's gay Avengers beat bias in Rio, and Russia deploys homophobia in war against democracy. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Rob LaCrone.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 14th, 2019. That's the sound of the very first LGBTQ Pride Parade in Sarajevo. As many as 3,000 people marched on September 8th behind a pink banner proclaiming Ima Izax, which roughly translates, I want to come out. Foreign diplomats joined the almost mile-long procession down the central streets of the capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Marchers protested widespread anti-queer hate crimes in the Western Balkan nation. They waved rainbow flags, sang anti-fascist songs, and carried placards with messages like Love is not a privilege and queer resistance. The march ended with a rally in front of the parliament building. Pride organizer Branko Chuliberg told the Sarajevo Times that they were demanding a society free of violence and homophobia, legalization of same-sex marriage, and health care for trans people and change of documents. Bosnia and Herzegovina is a Muslim-majority country of 3.5 million people. Islamic extremists attacked participants at queer supportive events in Sarajevo in 2008 and 2014. Conservative Muslim groups organized counter-protests for this week, so about 1,000 police officers were deployed along the parade route to discourage violent confrontations. Sniper units were reportedly also set up on building tops. Fortunately, there were no incidents. Bosnia and Herzegovina has ostensibly outlawed discrimination based on sexual orientation, but LGBTQ people have no affirmative rights.
The first same-gender weddings in Northern Ireland will take place on Valentine's Day 2020. The British Parliament had voted on July 9th to give the dysfunctional Northern Ireland government until October 21st to enact marriage equality. Otherwise, Parliament would force the issue in January. Few, if any, are expecting that to happen, so the now dysfunctional British government announced on September 9th that January 13th would be the day. There's a 28-day waiting period after a couple submits a notice of intention to marry. Northern Ireland Office Minister Lord Duncan of Springbank confirmed the February 14th date for the first queer weddings in a speech this week in the House of Lords. Patrick Corrigan is Northern Ireland Director for Amnesty International and a leader in the Love Equality Campaign Group. Corrigan said, "There could not be a more fitting date for Northern Ireland's first same-sex weddings than Valentine's Day, the Feast of Love." Northern Ireland will be the last part of the United Kingdom to bestow that right.
Brazil's largest newspaper featured two male Avengers kissing on its September 7th front page. Folha de São Paulo's dedication was just one response to an attempt by the mayor of Rio de Janeiro to have copies of the Marvel comic book, Avengers, The Children's Crusade, removed from a book fair. Mayor Marcelo Crivella charged that the comic includes content unsuitable for minors. The illustration in question shows Marvel's committed gay superhero couple, Wiccan and Hulkling, in a passionate embrace. The BBC says that the luxury hardcover version displayed at the book fair has been available in Brazil since 2012. Mayor Crivella created the controversy when he demanded on Twitter that books like this need to be wrapped in black sealed plastic with a content warning displayed on the outside. He's a former Roman Catholic bishop who has previously condemned same-gender love as evil behavior. Brazil's Attorney General Raquel Dodge challenged the mayor's censorship efforts at Brazil's Supreme Court, arguing that Crivella was trying to subvert freedom of expression and the free exchange of ideas. Chief Justice José Dias Toffoli ruled in Dodge's favor on September 8th.
By the time agents arrived to try to confiscate them, copies of Avengers: The Children's Crusade at the book fair had already sold out. The front page newspaper illustration mocking Crivella was not the only protest. The BBC reported that Brazilian YouTube star Felipe Neto handed out some 14,000 queer-themed books to fans the day before the High Court decision was announced. Crivella's actions are yet another example of the rightward shift in Brazilian politics. Earlier this year, the country's proudly homophobic President Jair Bolsonaro demanded that all content referencing homosexuality, feminism, and violence against women be removed from school textbooks.
The owner of Canada's first Chick-fil-A franchise is looking for some feathered friends. The Toronto store's September 6th grand opening was greeted by about 60 LGBTQ rights advocates. They were demonstrating against the U.S.-based eatery because of its well-publicized funding of anti-queer groups and causes. Protester Tommy King told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, "They've fought against equal rights in the States, and if they're here, they're probably going to do the same." King's compatriots carried signs reading, "Chick-fil-A is full of homophobia," and "Cluck off." The far-right evangelical Christian owners of Chick-fil-A unabashedly say that the company opposes marriage equality and supports the biblical definition of a family. They've donated millions of dollars to certifiably anti-queer U.S.-based groups like the Salvation Army, Focus on the Family, the Queer Cure Group, Exodus International, and the Family Research Council. While press statements from the company claim that its support for organized homophobia has stopped, reports persist that the chicken continues to supply its golden eggs. Beleaguered franchise owner Wilson Yang told reporters that, "We want all Torontonians to know they are welcome here." The new outlet remained open during the daily protests, except on Sunday, of course. Chick-fil-A orders all its franchise owners to close for the Christian Sabbath.
Married gay dads in the state of Maryland filed suit this week against the State Department for refusing to recognize the U.S. citizenship of their daughter, who was born in February to a surrogate in Canada. The lawsuit also names Secretary of State Mike Pompeo as a co-defendant. Roy and Adil Kiviti were both born in Israel. Roy was raised in Southern California and became a U.S. citizen in 2001, where he and Adil legally married in 2013. Adil became a U.S. citizen earlier this year. Both men are listed on daughter Kesem's Canadian birth certificate. However, under Trump's State Department guidelines, children of same-gender couples born outside the U.S. are considered to be born out of wedlock. Only the spouse with a biological connection to the child is recognized as the legal parent. And in this case, that's Adil. U.S. citizenship is automatically granted in similar circumstances to the children of heterosexual couples. The out-of-wedlock status has proved to be a stumbling block in the couple's efforts to have their daughter declared a U.S. citizen. The couple is being represented by the groups Immigration Equality and Lambda Legal. Through their attorneys, they said that every parent wants to protect their child. The focus here is on our little girl, whose rights are being infringed upon by our government.
The couple also has a son named Lev, born via Canadian surrogacy in 2016. When they applied for a U.S. passport for Lev early in the following year, it was quickly approved. The lawsuit charges that current State Department policy unconstitutionally disregards the dignity and equality of the marriages of same-sex couples and unlawfully discriminates against children simply because their married parents are a same-sex couple. Immigration Equality's Aaron C. Morris charged that the State Department is treating Roe and Adil as second-class citizens and treating Kesem as if she is not a citizen at all. The Cavite's lawsuit is just the latest challenge to the Trump administration policy by queer parents. The State Department is appealing another couple's trial court-level victory.
Finally.
Chuck Grassley was there, and Joni Ernst, and John Thune, and Mike Pounds, and so many, just a whole group of great people.
U.S. social media pounced all over President Trump's latest vocal gaffe, this one misnaming his vice president. Speaking of Pence, he's had another eventful past few weeks. Pence probably squirmed, at least internally, during an official visit to Ireland in early September. There, the vice president and his wife Karen dined with openly gay Prime Minister Leo Varadkar and his spouse, Dr. Mike Barrett. Pence's decision to stay in a Trump-owned property several miles from the meeting site has angered administration critics. The vice president was greeted in Iceland by rainbow flags along the route to his meeting with President Guðni Jóhannesson. Jóhannesson wore a rainbow-colored bracelet during photo ops to formally welcome him, as he did when he greeted Russian President Vladimir Putin. Despite voluminous evidence to the contrary, the White House has consistently claimed that Pence is not homophobic. However, on September 13th, Pence was the headline speaker at a black tie gala for the evangelical Christian group Concerned Women for America, held, of course, at the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. The Southern Poverty Law Center has charted the group's anti-queer positions, including its stated belief that marriage equality entices children to experiment with homosexuality. Meanwhile, Pence's wife teaches part-time at a suburban D.C. Christian school that doesn't allow LGBTQ students or staff. What would make anyone think the couple is anti-queer?
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending September 14th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Rob LaCrone.
I'm speaking with LGBT activists inside Russia. They're actually telling me that it was better during Soviet times than it was under Vladimir Putin.
Last time on This Way Out, Belgian political scientist and LGBTQ activist Remy Bonny talked about the Putin regime's impact on queer life in Russia, but the agenda goes beyond just institutionalizing homophobia.
People who want to fight liberal democracy also are indirectly starting to fight LGBT rights at the moment. They want to create an atmosphere of fear against the LGBT community.
In the conclusion of This Way Out Sydney correspondent William Broom's exclusive two-part interview, Bonny draws the connections between international LGBTQ campaigns and the drive to disrupt liberal democracies.
I was in New York in June, as you were. And you were there on stage during the World Pride celebrations and Stonewall 50th commemorations. And you spoke about your experiences earlier this year in Georgia. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Georgia, if you take a flight from Georgia to Chechnya, it's only a half an hour or something. It's 100 kilometers away from it. And the whole Caucasus region has this very aggressive, very homophobic, very conservative stances on LGBT rights. If we look to opinion polls in the region, Georgia is a bit better, but if we look to neighboring countries like Azerbaijan, for instance, only 8% of the society thinks that LGBT people should have their place in society. So if you want to organize your LGBT movement in these countries, you will have a lot of struggles. For instance, in Georgia, there were some young people tried to hold the very first Pride March ever in the region. There was a huge, huge crackdown organized by not just the government, but also by religious authorities who were also supported by Russia, to be honest. In Georgia, I was just walking on the streets. And at some point, me and my colleagues, also some international people, were telling me, this guy, I think he's trying to film us, and I think I've seen him already a few times in the last few days. And then you need to start thinking that this is not just some homophobic idiots who think that they are strong by beating up gay people. No, that's not what it is. It's a well-organized, very effective organization with all behind it. And then indeed, the main oligarch was the basically a religious homophobic leader in Georgia. His name is Vazadze. Yeah, he has a lot of contacts with the Kremlin, but also with American alt-right organizations and so on. And you see that these kind of things, that there's a lot of money going on in these homophobic organizations. That's all internationally orchestrated.
You've been doing a lot to expose homophobia and transphobia in the former Soviet states and in Russia and elsewhere. Do you ever feel you're putting your own security and safety at risk.
Well, I'm sure, and I've been told by Western intelligence organizations, and I'm getting monitored by the Russians, for instance. The first sign I ever got about being monitored myself is when I did some social media activism with a Belarusian activist back 2 years ago in front of the European Parliament. And we just made a picture of us together, put it on my social media. The moment that that guy got back to Belarus, he was immediately detained at the airport by the intelligence services there. So that was already the first time that my social media, because it was only in my social media, nowhere in press, nowhere on his social media, only in my social media, it was already the first sign that intelligence services from the post-Soviet republics were following me. Yeah, at the same time, I'm in a more comfortable position. That's also one of the biggest reasons why I'm doing this work. As a Belgian guy, they will most probably monitor me. They will try to hack my stuff and so on. But they will never try to poison me like they would do with their own citizens.
Now to your current project, which involves Russia, Hungary, and the European Union.
Yes. So the last, let's say, year, I've been living in Budapest to do off-the-record meetings and research with officials inside Budapest and diplomats from all over the region there to find out what is actually happening with these international homophobic networks in the region, because I got signs that Hungary, and especially Hungary, was very much involved in these networks. What we saw, for instance, the last 5-6 years is that, for instance, the American-based homophobic network called the World Congress of Families was starting to organize themselves very much in the region, and that the main person from the WHO region who was involved in this network, her name is Katalin Novak. She's the vice president of Fidesz, the ruling party of Hungary. Hungary is already since 2003 member of the European Union, and one of the main politicians of the country is involved in one of the most homophobic networks in the WHO world. And the World Congress of Families, it's officially American-based. But if you look to who the people are actually who are involved in that, then we're speaking about the Ugandans who wanted to implement death penalty for homosexuals. Mm. We're speaking about the same people from Russia who implemented this anti-propaganda law. We're speaking about the president of Moldova, who has a huge record of human rights violations. So this is the kind of people who are involved in this American network called the World Congress of Families. And at the same time, one of the major member states of the European Union, Hungary, which is already accused of a lot of conservative things, but still, they are not accused of being that aggressive towards the LGBT community. But at the same time, one of their main politicians is involved in one of these networks. And then I was digging deeper and deeper in it, and I saw that the link was not specifically an American conservative / Hungarian link. The link was Russia-Hungary.
Mm.
Because what we found at some point is that there were in the last years a lot of contacts between Katalin Novak and a guy who at that point nobody knew who he was. It took me a lot of time actually to find out who he was. His name was Igor Bilobrodov. And Igor Bilobrodov, we found out that he was living in some area of Moldova where the Moldovan authorities don't have any authority, but the Russians have, because they basically took over the power just like they did in Ukraine and Georgia in the last 10 years as well. And he's living there. And he's at the same time head of a demographic unit of the Russian Institute for Strategic Studies, the main institute behind the involvement of the Russians in the presidential elections of in the United States. So as that guy is meeting on almost a monthly basis with the Hungarian State Secretary for Family Affairs and the vice president of the ruling party there, that is not just about believing in homophobia or being conservative. This is about an intelligence operation.
So it's coming from the highest levels?
It's coming from the highest levels. I've been monitoring his social media, and I've been looked to who he is following on social media or who he's befriended with on social media. That's the major spy community of Russia. One of them is Leonid Reshetnikov. He is born in Potsdam and Germany. He was already since the 80s a very good friend of Vladimir Putin. And he is really very well befriended with Igor Bieloborodov, and not just him, but his daughter, for instance, as well. So you see that the Wu family is already very close to that guy. Also, another guy, for instance, Timur Aliyev, the personal assistant of Ramzan Kadyrov, the leader of Chechnya, the guy who was accused of the most structural persecution of homosexuals since the Second World War. So, yeah, you see that this guy is very, very close to the people in power. You see there's a lot more even going on, most probably than what I already discovered. But yeah, this is happening all under our eyes in the European Union, and nobody is really reacting to it because, yeah, if I was able to find it out, also Western intelligence services were able to find this, and they obviously didn't do anything about it.
Why do you think the Western intelligence services are not doing anything about it?
The reasons for that are very complex, of course. At the moment, there is a lot going on about our intelligence operations of the Russians inside the European Union. And I just think that their focus is not on that because they have too much other focus to focus on other things. And maybe that's a mistake that they're making. What they all focus on is on cyber interference of the Russians. It's on hacking our election computers. It's on interfering through spreading fake news and so on. But that's not the only thing that the Russians are doing. And by not focusing on the things that I discovered, the Russians might actually be more effective than they are on these other topics like spreading fake news. Because what we see is that indeed the Russians made very narrow intelligence contacts between high-level Hungarian government officials. And it's not limiting itself, honestly, to Hungary.
You're listening to Belgian activist Remy Bonny. More after this brief message. So much cooler
online. There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
news wrap transcripts,
CDs, and downloadable materials.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
And now, the conclusion of William Broom's exclusive interview with European LGBTQ researcher Remy Bonny.
What do you plan to do with the information you've got?
Well, one of the things I'm doing is basically traveling all around the world at the moment to tell to as many people as possible, to many interest groups as possible about this information. This is all about lobbying at the moment. We need to have the world focusing, the intelligence community also focusing on these kind of things, because it's not just about fake news and all these kind of things. There are a lot of things going on also that we as the public, but also the intelligence community still doesn't know about. And one of those things is the thing that I discovered, that the Russians are also interfering in our liberal democracies through all these anti-LGBT networks.
What can the wider world, not just the LGBTI community, but the wider world do to help the situation?
First thing that everybody needs to do is share the information as much as possible, because we need to be aware of what is happening. And if we're not aware about what is happening, we can also not fight back to our main enemies. We don't, in a lot of cases, LGBT organizations in those countries actually don't know who their enemies are. So how can the wider public actually know that then? At the moment, I'm also just doing a fundraising to continue this research, because, as I told you, there is a lot more going on. I discovered what is going on in Hungary, but we hear similar signs coming from Poland, Italy, the United States, and so on. One of the keynote speakers of the World Congress of Families was a deputy prime minister of Italy this year. So there is most probably also a lot going on in Italy with the Russians at the moment. Yeah, we need to understand that this is not just about LGBT rights also. It's about the fight against liberal democracy. It goes, unfortunately, beyond LGBT rights.
Do you see any signs of optimism or hope?
Yes, there are some signs. I mean, in general, what the Russians are doing, and that's quite smart of them, they are not focusing on public opinion. Because they know, for instance, in Central and Eastern Europe, especially the member states of the European Union, and in the last years, the population became more progressive towards LGBT rights. That's also why they mainly focus on government officials. They're not using fake news and so on LGBT rights in countries like Hungary and Czech Republic or Poland. They're basically focusing on the government officials. And what we see, for instance, in the Czech Republic is that they are trying to implement same-sex marriage at the moment there, and that the government, the prime minister, actually declared that he and his ruling party are going to support it. So in the coming 2 years, we will probably have the very first country in the Eastern Bloc implementing same-sex marriage. And I hope that could be the first Emmanuel follow. But we see that people really are getting more progressive also in the region, even when the politicians are becoming more homophobic, people are standing up against it. In Poland, we had last month, I think, the biggest coming out ever in world history, after the main political leader of Poland said again for like the 1,000th time in the last year something very homophobic. And then like thousands and thousands of young LGBT people in Poland started to come out on social media. And yeah, it was literally going viral at that moment. People are really also starting to stand up also in the region. And yeah, that's some sign of optimism, I guess.
And also, I think you mentioned on your website that LGBTI activists in Kazakhstan are hoping to hold their first rally soon.
Yeah, well, they're hoping to do that. And it's very optimistic of them, but also for the region, if that would be possible. Kazakhstan, knowing, I don't believe, honestly, that they will give the permits to the organizers. But at least what we see is that the LGBT community is starting to organize themselves there. 5 years ago, there was totally no LGBT organization at all in the country. And now we see that the LGBT community, even if they don't get the permits and even if they don't get all what they need, they start to organize themselves. And that's also a reason for hope, I guess, because then the better they organize themselves, the better that they can fight against the people who fight against them.
And finally, how can we find out more about the great work you're doing?
Well, you can check out my social media or my website, remyboni.com, and subscribe to my newsletter, for instance. And every single month, I send out the main things that are happening around the region on LGBT issues. And yeah, that's the best way to keep in touch with me.
Remy Boni in Brussels, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome.
This is William Broom in Sydney, Australia, for This Way Out.
One of Remy Boni's predictions is already coming to pass. Last week, several hundred people demonstrated in support of the Czech Republic's pending marriage equality bill. Again, you can keep abreast of the latest developments at the activist academic's website, remyboni.com. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Rob LaCrone and Tanya Kane Perry, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from William Broom. Special thanks to Chicago's own J. Stephen Hunt. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible, including you, we hope. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WHYRLP Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Free Radio Santa Cruz, California, KHOI Ames, Iowa, and a wide variety of community radio stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.